With me, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 30 and 31 and then drop down to 34. Verses 30 and 31 and verse 34. Starting in verse 30, it says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Verse 34, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful for this day and for the message that you have for us today, Father. I pray, as we see his unequaled love, I pray, Father, that we would never forget how much love you have for us. And Father, I pray that this morning that you would speak to each one of us personally. I pray that you'd give me the very words to preach this morning. I pray, Father, that your words would go out and it would touch our hearts. That as you speak to each one of us personally this morning, Father, I pray that we'd be drawn closer to you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus is not the Son of God because he was born of a virgin. He was born of a virgin because he is the Son of God. Thank God for the virgin birth. Thank God. See, Jesus did not have his start in Bethlehem. There's a lot of people who believe that's where he did, but Jesus stepped out of glory. He stepped out of glory. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. We're going to talk today about the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm aware that the world laughs at the idea. I get it. They think the virgin birth is not possible, that there's no way that that could have taken place. So I get it. They think that that is some sort of primitive medieval superstition or something. I get it. They laugh and they mock at the idea of the virgin birth. I'm going to tell you that the devil hates the idea of the virgin birth as well, because it teaches both the humanity and the deity of his nemesis and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But worse than the mockery of this world and the hatred of Satan and the ignorance of many so-called Christians concerning the virgin birth, many of them doubt it. Some don't even believe it at all. And others think that it's incidental. I'm going to show you today from this message that without the virgin birth, you have no hope. We had to have the virgin birth of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you take away the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you've destroyed the entire foundation of Christianity. It's amazing. Everything's going to collapse without it. So I'd say it's not incidental, it is fundamental. Got three thoughts this morning. People are thinking this will go fast, right? First of all, I want you to think of the sacred mystery of his birth. The sacred mystery of his birth. The angel has announced to Mary, as we see, she's going to be with child. Now, Mary's a virgin. She's a spouse to her husband, Joseph. But they are not living at this point as husband and wife. They have not come together in the act of marriage yet. The ceremony has not transpired. None of that is taken together yet. And yet, the angel Gabriel says, "Mary, you are going to have a baby." She asks a very pertinent question in verse 34. She says, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" How shall this be? Very good question. It's a big question. How is this going to happen? She says, this is a mystery to me, right? How is this going to happen? I know not a man. This means she has not had any intimate relationship with a man. There's no way for this to happen. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 35 and going through 37, says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Praise the Lord. Now, if you find difficulty here with that, you're going to have a lot of difficulty with the virgin birth. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Verse 38 says, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. We're talking about the mystery of the virgin birth. May I tell you that the virgin birth does not depend on your understanding for its validity. Praise God it doesn't, right? You do not have to understand it to validate it. There are a lot of things we do not understand, right? Here's one I don't understand. How a brown cow can eat green grass and give white milk that later becomes yellow butter. I don't get it. But I still like all of that. I don't get it. Most of us don't understand how windshield wipers work on our cars, right? But we thank God they work, right? There are a lot of things we don't understand, but we do experience them. Vance Havner said this, I don't understand electricity, but I'm not going to sit around in the dark until I do. Right? I mean, come on. Why should we sit around in the dark until we understand electricity? There's a lot about electricity I don't understand. But I have enough of an understanding of it to be careful around it. We've got to be careful of those things. But just because we don't understand it doesn't mean we need to discount it, not use it, not rely on it. Mary asked a good question. How can this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, there's going to be some that say the virgin birth is a biological impossibility. Okay? Again, I want to tell you, it's not a biological impossibility if you let the angel answer the question. The angel says, is there anything too hard for God? With God, all things are possible. Right? Thank God. With God, all things are possible. God's not bound to the very laws in which He Himself has created in the universe. He Himself has made these laws. He's not bound by them. He is the Master and Lord of that universe. He can do anything He pleases. And the answer is, because He's God. I have no difficulty with the virgin birth if I believe in creation. If you believe in creation, how could you possibly? If you believe in Genesis 1:1, that God created the heavens and the earth, you're home free concerning miracles, right? I mean, He just spoke things into existence. Yeah, He could take care of a virgin birth. It was probably like not even an issue for Him. If you have difficulty believing the virgin birth, how about God made the first man without a father or a mother? Out of clay, he formed it out of nothing. Now, it may be a mystery to you, but it's not a mystery to God. He took care of it. In 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Manifest in the flesh. This is what the virgin birth is all about. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels. You ever thought about that, seen of angels? Got to thinking about that. Seen of angels. All of a sudden, he's seen of angels. He's manifest in the flesh, and he's seen of angels. Got to thinking, why all of a sudden now he's seen of angels? Do you see God? Anybody here see God? We know he's here. We would say he's invisible, right? But now all of a sudden he's seen of angels. Seen of angels. This is God. The Word was made flesh. And the angels. God lying in a manger, the angels. Seen of angels. Yeah. Preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Don't worry about the fact you can't explain the virgin birth. Just believe it happened. Because God said it did. Can't explain the virgin birth any more than you can explain God. Just can't. Maybe when you can explain God, maybe then you can explain the virgin birth. Great is the mystery of godliness. We join Mary in saying, "How can this be?" And we join the angels when we say, "With God, all things are possible." Yeah. Amen to that, right? Settled. That's it. God did it. If you have difficulty believing the virgin birth, I'll tell you, your real difficulty is your God is too small. We have a problem with the virgin birth. Your God is too small. The second point, I want to see not only the sacred mystery of it, but I want you to see, I'd say this is very important, the saving ministry of the virgin birth. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The virgin birth and the incarnation, that is, God being made flesh, was necessary for our salvation. You can't be saved without it. God gave Adam and Eve dominion in the Garden of Eden. They sinned and they lost that dominion. They forfeited it. They turned it over to Satan. And rather than being servants to God, they became slaves to Satan. and they infected the entire human race with sin. The entire human race. Our dominion was lost by a M-A-N, a man. The only way it could ever be returned to us was by a man, another man. And that man is the Lord Jesus. All of us today are represented by one of two men. One of two men. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all are made alive. Now Jesus Christ, the last Adam, came, born of a virgin, to undo what the first Adam did. Apart from the virgin birth, there is no hope of salvation. None whatsoever. So how did he come and undo what the first Adam did? The Bible clearly and plainly teaches us that the wages of sin is death. Clearly. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And the Bible says, without shedding of blood is no remission of sin. Sin has to be paid for. Wages of sin are death. But it has to be paid for. It has to be atoned. It must be atoned by shed blood. God in spirit has no blood. And the Bible says God is spirit. Yeah. The great eternal I am is spirit. The great I am, the great eternal I am, cannot die. In fact, the great eternal I am cannot bleed. But this salvation was lost by a man. This dominion was lost by a man. Therefore, it must be redeemed by a man. For without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Not just any man can do this. Has to be a perfect man. Now, if I took a poll in here, I'd say, any perfect men in here? If your hand goes up, we need to talk. There's no perfect men in here. None whatsoever. There's no perfect man in the world today. The only one that was perfect is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all sons and daughters of Adam by birth, and no son or daughter of Adam can qualify. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I like when he uses the word all, because nobody can get away and say, well, I don't fall under that. Well, all is all, folks. We know that we're sinners by birth, by choice, by practice, and by nature. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Had Jesus been born like we were born, don't try to convince me you weren't born, I know better, like we were born, he would have been a son of Adam. He would have been a son of Adam. And had he been the son of Adam, he would have been a sinner. Pretty simple. Had he been a sinner, he could not have been innocent. Now, I know there's a lot of people here today think, I'm innocent, right? You're not innocent. You're a sinner. If you're saved by Jesus Christ, you're a sinner saved by grace. Had he not been innocent, he could have been anybody's, he could not have been anybody's substitute. Not mine, not yours, not anybody else's. When he had died, he would have died for his own sins. That's the best he could have done. God wants us to be saved, so God sent his very best. His only begotten Son, born of a virgin, to pay our sin debt. God's answer is a man, but a sinless man, a perfect man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, someone who was both truly human and fully sinless. Praise the Lord. Human, that he might undo what first Adam did, that he might shed blood, but that blood must be sinless blood. So whose blood was in that baby? Wasn't Mary's blood. Because the bloodline is not determined by the mother. The bloodline is determined by the father. Whose blood circulated in that little baby? It was the blood of God. Wait a minute. If God does not have blood, then, because God is spirit, then how did that happen? Let me take you back to nothing is impossible with God. Acts 20, verse 28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." God took care of that. The blood of God circulated through that little baby in its mother's womb, sinless blood, innocent blood. Thank God for the blood. There's many people today that want to get rid of the blood. They don't want to sing hymns regarding the blood. They don't want to have any verses in Scripture of the blood. But without the blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That is the reason I said you take away the virgin birth and you have no hope of heaven. It's gone. He came as he did, born of a virgin, to be what he was, sinless. Sinless. Yeah. He had to die a substitutionary death to atone for sin. He had to do that. He did what he did that we might be born again and be able to go to heaven. No sinless sacrifice, no atonement. No atonement, no new birth. No new birth, no hope of heaven. So he was born of a virgin that we might be born again. He came to earth that we might be able to go to heaven. He became the Son of Man that we might become the sons and daughters of God. And that's what this is all about. This is why we have the virgin birth. Had he not been born of a virgin, he could not have been a son. He would have been a son of Adam. He is the only begotten Son of God. He is the only one qualified to die upon the cross for our salvation. No one else could do that. Never overlook, never knock the virgin birth. It's vital. Thank God that he stepped out of heaven's glory and came to earth to be born of a virgin. That is the way. That is the reason the angel said, "This is good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people." He is the Savior of the world. That's who he is. This is good news, which is to all people. The world needs Jesus. Jews and Gentiles need Jesus. Young and old need Jesus. Rich and poor need Jesus. Intellectual and illiterate need Jesus. White man, black man, yellow man, red man. Here, there, everywhere. This world needs Jesus. He is the virgin-born Son of God. I don't care who you are, you need Jesus. He's the answer to all your problems. He's the answer to the world's problems. Everyone needs Jesus. Now the third and final point. We've talked about the sacred mystery of his birth, talked about the saving ministry of his birth. Now I want to talk about the sovereign majesty of his birth. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." The name Jesus, the Old Testament name Joshua, same name means Jehovah saves. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 32, "He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Talking about the sovereign majesty of this baby, the throne of his father David. Luke 1:33 says, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. As the Son of God, he shares the nature of God, like Father, like Son. Who is this baby? Virgin born, plain, straight, simple. He is God in human flesh." But this is what the Bible says in Hebrews 1:11, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." Here he's talking to the Son. This baby is as much God as if he were not man at all. He is the earthly child of a heavenly father and of the heavenly child of an earthly mother. That little baby lying in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, with his dimpled feet touching the straw, is that mighty God of Genesis 1:1. Do you believe that? The Apostle John believed it, and he said this in John 1:1-3, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." He made the manger that he was laid in. He is God from everlasting. He did not begin with Mary in Bethlehem. He existed as ageless with his Father in heaven. As has been well said, when he was born, he was as ageless as his Father and older than his mother. And he has come to rule and to reign. His is the cradle that will rock the world. One day our Savior is going to step out of glory, and those blessed nailed, pierced feet will touch the Mount of Olives, and there will be a great earthquake. And Jesus is going to make his way to Jerusalem, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. There's something tragically wrong with our world. You probably didn't need me to tell you that. There's something tragically wrong with our world. There can be really no peace at all until the Prince of Peace brings it. The answer to this world's problems is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the hope of the individual, the hope of the church, the hope of the family, the hope of this nation, and the hope of this world is Jesus Christ. Without him, we have no hope. Why the virgin birth? He came to earth that we might go to heaven. The whole purpose is wrapped up in the substitutionary death. The Bible tells us this, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him," talking about on Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." The Bible says it's clearly. It says it plainly, simply, and sweetly. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Can't get any more plain than that. And I would say, if I could do it for you, I would. It's my desire that none should perish. That's what God's desire is, the Bible tells us. It should be each and every born-again Christian's desire that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If I could do that, I would. This message is pretty plain and pretty clear. Without that virgin birth, without that substitutionary death, without the shedding of blood, we have no remission of sins. None. God wants each and every one to be saved. Why should anyone die and go to hell when we have such a wonderful salvation? Why should anyone? When Jesus came, born of a virgin, born sinless, was the one who came to die, be resurrected again. The Bible's very clear. He came to lay down his life and take it up again. Without Jesus, we have nothing. People go, well, I got all this stuff. You still have nothing if you have not Jesus. So do you believe in the virgin birth? I don't understand how people can know or profess, I'll go back to profess, to know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior and not believe in the virgin birth. They're kind of intertwined. Today, it's God's desire. It's my desire. It should be every born-again Christian's desire that if there's someone in our midst today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, that today would be that day. Today would be the day when they realize that Jesus came and died for them. But thank God, He rose again and ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Let's pray.